hour live downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot here on an early Friday morning. Lou Finocchiaro's best bets in the UFC coming up in about 5 minutes. What took place last night in the sports world, Paulie, from a betting perspective? Like, a lot of those favorites got there in the NHL that we discussed yesterday. A lot of favorites in regulation, by the way.
Yeah.
Bruins in regulation. The 60-minute props that are available at DraftKings, like tie, no bet, that got there. Penguins, Devils, that got there in regulation. Same thing with the Lightning and Blue Jays. Three big favorites last night, all winning and cashing tickets in regulation.
Right. Who'd you mean? Blue Jays?
What did I say?
You said Blue Jays. Who'd you mean?
I said Blue Jays.
Maple Leafs? Who'd you want?
Lightning.
Lightning. Okay, there you go.
Lightning. You know what it is? Lightning against the Blue Jackets.
Oh, that's what, okay.
That's what I meant.
That's what it was. I got you there. I got you.
7 o'clock, cannot get here soon enough.
These are some bad teams. And this is going to be a great finish to the season. Number one, the division races. But we're going to see a $253 favorite every night here. And the Bruins are laying $320 again today.
Yes, absolutely.
The Penguins are $3 tomorrow. The Knights are $250 on the road. Vegas doesn't lose. Colorado doesn't lose. Bruins on fire. But Buffalo, New Jersey, Columbus, letting go of the rope. I want to see what the Kings do tonight as well. Wild have won five in a row. They're $1.60 on the road.
Yeah.
It just going to be a fantastic finish. Good win for the Leafs. But this is great with these division races. So good. And then the other one we liked, Carolina. Boy, a juicy return with the puck line. They stuck one in there. I think they scored empty net goal, two men down. They took a penalty and they pulled the goalie.
Oh, did you see their tweet?
Yeah.
Great tweet.
We've had more guys in the box than, what was it?
Than you have wins against us or whatever it is this year. Yeah.
Yeah. More penalty. Yeah. They beat them six in a row. Just a bad matchup. Now, they lost two in a row at home to Detroit, but they've won six in a row against Florida. Yeah. So you figure it out. So they're going to win that division.
There you go. There's the tweet. Panthers, Hurricanes last night. We had four times as many guys in the penalty box as Florida has wins against us.
That's Ric Flair.
That's exactly what it is.
I got more cars than you have friends. My shoes cost more than your house.
Doesn't he live in Carolina?
I think he does.
Think in that area?
And look at tonight with the Bruins. Come on. I mean, three. Oh, wow. Man. What a run this is. Still 3-1. You can find him to win the division. And the Devils and Penguins start today tomorrow. Penguins a massive favorite. Colorado and St. Louis go again at it again. Remember, 18-2 overrun third period on the road for Colorado. Capitals and Islanders, what a game that was. Scoreless. Had to go to the shootout.
Well, that's
big one for the Capitals.
That's playoff hockey right there.
That's right. And they have to come back and do it again. I like the Hurricanes again. They'll probably be $1.30 to beat the Panthers. They tango again on Saturday. So do the Maple Leafs and the Jets. Maple Leafs win this one, then the division's over. If they beat the Jets again, it's over. Then they'll be up 8 points. I mean, at that point, you're not going to get caught.
Right.
There's 7-8 games left. And as I already mentioned, the Golden Knights are $250 on the road against Anaheim. They've won 8 in a row, and it's 15-2, yes. Goal in the first 10. But not as good as New Jersey.
No.
That's 17-2, according to Chris Otto.
And
11 in a row.
Yes.
And 11 in a row.
A lot of these streaks are just taking off right now in hockey. All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Lou Finocchiaro on the program coming up next. He's a dog bettor. Can he make a case for the dog in the main event? Find out coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Cubs and Brewers meet in a National League Central Division matchup at Wrigley Field today. Kyle Hendricks pitching for the Cubs. He gave up 7 runs on 7 hits and 4 home runs in the first inning in Sunday's loss to the Braves. Cubs are $1.30 favorite. Brett Anderson and the Brewers plus 119, 9 over the total. The A's have won 11 straight. They're $1.40 favorite at Baltimore plus 115. The Orioles have dropped 6 of 7 at home this season, 9.5 under at Camden Yards. Boston Bruins are a $3 favorite at Buffalo today, plus 271, 5.5 over the total. The Bruins have won 6 straight. Our sports betting experts are analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing every day. Plus, our NFL experts are getting ready for the 2021 NFL Draft. Get all our in-depth insights and point spread weekly, our best bets daily email, and 24/7 video coverage, vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
All right, we close strong with Lou Adnan. Win, lose, and in pocket. A couple winners last night in hockey. Mitch Ben's great with baseball and with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the largest offer of live in-play options. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, Bet Rivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and one-time playthrough. Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play SugarHouse.com in Jersey. Must be 21. Get up there. And I would say congratulations, too, to Joe Asher, who steps aside at William Hill after they get $4 billion bought out by Caesars Entertainment. And he started that. It was Lucky. It was called Lucky's.
He started a company out here called Lucky's.
Lucky's. In a small book. And then what he built it up to, and then William Hill buys it, and then they sell William Hill for $4
billion. $4
billion. And it's, oh, man. What was Leroy's? Didn't Leroy's become
Lucky's?
Another one. Or was that a different one?
No, I think that was a competitor.
I think, if
I recall, around the same time it was called Leroy's, and we had Lucky's.
Cal Neva. That's where Nick was at. There was all these, for a while, there was all these small books. And I think William Hill bought all of them, as I understand it. But that, what a job by Joe Asher.
I think Chris Andrews used to not only run, but own some of Cal Neva.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Jerry's Nugget. Remember that? They used to make their own numbers. Like 15, 20 years ago when we had all these different books in town. Like every place, not every place, but a majority of books were different. Like Jerry's Nugget, little old Jerry's Nugget, where you can get that prime rib that's like 56 ounces and Thule whacks it down in one setting. That was so, you know.
Bigger than his head.
That went by the wayside a long time ago.
Yeah.
Gam Lou joins the program now. Lou Finicaro, who was excellent on the UFC. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great hearing you guys talk hockey, and nothing better if you're an old saddle like me than old Las Vegas, guys. It was unbelievable.
I bet. I would love to be able to go back in time to be like a Las Vegas resident, like in the 60s, 70s, mob here, Sinatra, the Rat Pack. Oh, I can't even imagine what it would have been like.
I just wish as a 21, 22-year-old kid going to see Rickles and everything that I recorded it better and I wasn't so young.
Yeah.
But it's neither here nor there.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You love betting the dogs in the UFC and in sports in general. Can you make a case for Masvidal, who's a pretty big dog in the main event against Usman tomorrow night, or no?
Yeah, I scour for value in dogs, and if I can't find that, Mitch, then I scour to find plus value somehow or another. In this fight, I've gone on record as saying that this fight is not going to be much different than the first fight. Masvidal will not be in that much better shape. He walks around every day in shape, save for maybe the last 18 months when he's been walking around in a bathrobe and drinking champagne all day. That said, the way I would approach this fight is to either simply take Usman via the decision at a minus 135 currently at Circa, or rather, it's the last fight on the card. If I can squeeze out a little profit, my plan will be to invest a half a unit in Usman inside the distance at a nice price of plus 310. I think it is personal for him, and I think he wants to perform.
Okay. How about the two female fights with the title fights?
Two great fights, two great champions. Zhang only minus 200 because she doesn't have the body of work that Shevchenko does. I think in time she will. That's going to be Zhang and Nama Yunus, a really excellent Ali Frazier stylistic fight to watch for a couple, two, three rounds. But in the end, I think the shorter, stockier, aggressive, more powerful Chinese fighter in Zhang will begin to back Rose up, get inside, and eventually either finish her or win a strong decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you don't like to lay that, so who do you want to hook her up with?
Yes, thank you for leading me into that, because I don't want to lay just 200. I would, but I think a more prudent choice to spend that 200 is to couple it up with Brendan Allen, a little lower in the card. He's a minus 150 right now, so there's a parlay. Allen fights a guy named Carl Roberson, strictly a long, tight, precision, powerful striker. but he's a little bit out of his league on the floor. Allen, surely out of his league standing up, has to find a way to navigate to the clasp, take this to the ground, and then find a way to finish it or dominate from that position, which I believe he will do. I think he's focused and ready to quit standing and start to get back to his core, which is wrestling, grappling, and the submission game. So the 150 Allen to Zhang, together, that's a +15 return. That's a two team that I think I would call my best bet for the card Saturday.
Okay, very good. How are you approaching the Shevchenko fight? She's a monstrous favorite. She's unbelievable. Laying like 450, I think, or more at some books. How do you try to squeeze value out of this fight, or are you avoiding it?
I probably won't bet it, but for purposes of this discussion, if we were in some kind of a contest, I'd directly look for Shevchenko via the decision. I know she has plenty of motivation to get back to Amanda Nunes, and in order to do that, it would behoove her to look very dominant against Andrade, except Andrade is a tough little fire plug, and this could be a very competitive fight. While Shevchenko has finished opponents of hers in the past, she's not really that much a finisher. Now, of course, she'll finish Andrade, but I think that one sets up to be more a decision, and therefore maybe not a fight I'm going to pay that much attention to.
There was a lot of controversy about the corner not stepping in and the damage that Smith took in that one fight. I think it was right back after the restart. And if that's had an effect on him here, but what do you think? He's +170 in his fight.
This is a fight that I'm going to call the PhD in MMA fight. Crute has a total of 13 pro fights. Anthony Smith, 51. So we're talking about a vast difference in experience. Smith's fought the best in every league and division he's ever been in. Just a year ago, you mentioned his house was broke into. He went out and gassed against Glover, then looked terrible. It's been almost a whole year for him to recover from that now. I believe that it's great to find an underdog that we can handicap is going to go into the octagon and perform at his absolute best, and I believe Smith will do that on Saturday. Is it enough to beat the young Crute, who's a dynamo, aggressive grappler, striker in his own right? We'll have to wait and see. But at +170, 175, that is not an accurate depiction of how close this fight's going to be. And I'll take Anthony Smith there as an underdog.
Very good. So Lou Finocchiaro is our guest. And you can read his write-ups and breakdowns, analysis every week, Point Spread Weekly for UFC cards. You can get that at vsin.com/subscribe. Typically, you come on the air with us when the weigh-ins are over with. And that's when you really, you play the waiting game. You want to be patient. You're going to see what fighters look like. Are they going to make weight? Are they not going to make it? That kind of a deal. Are they not going on as we speak? And if so, which fights are you waiting to pull the trigger on until the weigh-ins are over with?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. Yes, they just started. And so for the next few minutes, I'm not as concerned as who steps on the scale, because for the first 20 minutes of weigh-ins, the professionals step on the scale. They're ready, they made their weight, and they're ready to go. It's what happens after that counts. But in one fight in the undercard, there is a fighter named Ki Lang that's fighting a young man named Molina. Molina comes from Gloria Kickboxing in St. Louis, one of the hottest gyms in the country. And I think he's getting a little bit of play from his gym. He's 23, a very talented fighter, but everything's in front of him. He's fighting a Chinese fighter coming in at 27 years old, going to be the bigger man, the much more experienced man, in with better competition. However, his opponent, Ki Lang, is dropping from 35 to make 25. So I want to make sure he makes 25 easily. He looks good. And then that's a release where Ki Lang started as a slight favorite. Now he's a slight underdog. So that's one of the fights. The other fight concerning weight would be Cowboy Oliveira and Randy Brown. These are two bigger guys for that weight class. Oliveira shouldn't have trouble, but he has come in pushing the envelope before, meaning I believe he sometimes cheats and comes in heavy for advantage. That could be the case here. He's an uneven, unpredictable guy fighting a guy in Randy Brown that's really a striker. But I believe the more well-rounded, desperate Oliveira is also live here. But I want to wait and see those two guys on the scale as well.
The great Lou Finocchiaro, our guest, talking UFC. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson. So always looking for value in that plus price. You don't want to lay 220 with Sabatini. How you want to go about getting a plus price on that fight?
Yeah, gun to my head, if I had to lay Sabatini, or if I wanted to get cute, perhaps Sabatini with Zhang, if you don't like my Allen recommendation. Okay. But this guy Sabatini's a legit 145er, and he's a wrestling dynamo. He's fighting Tristan Connolly, who had neck surgery, has been laid off because of that, whose last fight was at 170, and arguably beat Michel Pereira, an impressive 170-pound fighter. He's 35 years old. This is his last hurrah. He's losing all this weight to compete at 145 to make one final push, but they give him a kid in Sabatini that's pretty rough. So Sabatini minus 220, okay, but more importantly, I think Sabatini via decision at plus 125 or 135 is how I would approach that, and I'll be holding my breath, hoping that he doesn't submit the kid in the third round.
Okay, and you also like Oliveira?
I do like Cowboy Oliveira, yes.
Okay, so that makes it like a good, well, we're looking at like five.
A handful.
Yeah.
Five really good bets then for you. Yeah. The parlay that you talked about would pay about plus 150. Smith in the plus 165-70 range. Oliveira about plus 130. You said wait on Keelung around even money.
Keelung,
yep. And Sabatini by decision plus 135. That's a loaded card for you, Lou.
Yeah, that's five, but I really try and plan them step by step that at the end of the night, if we're 2-3 or 3-2, we're going to win money.
Well said. Do you have enough of a sample size in the NHL to know who you want to be betting on in the playoffs?
Almost. I can tell you this. I think they're willing to the Florida, Carolina, Tampa division. I think one of your cup finalists is coming from those three teams, and don't overlook Florida. Even though Bobrovsky looks a little bit weak right now, that's a team that might be starting to put it together at the right time. And the other thing I'll say is that Canadian division, I disregard them.
Ooh.
Toronto plays no defense.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Jack Campbell. Oh, I'm the fan.
On.
I'm on number one fan man. I love him. I'm president of the fan club for Campbell. Okay.
For Toronto, you mean, or?
Yeah. I like the Campbell story, but they're leaking
the
oil.
Campbell story, it's great, but he's capable. And they've added all these forwards with great experience, but they did nothing at the blue line. And the second season is a different game. It's blue line.
Okay.
Follow him on Twitter. He is at Gamlu. We love talking to you, sir. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you so much for the time, guys. Good luck, everybody.
Yep.
You're the best. You want to gather around the campfire?
Oh, you got another one?
You want to go quick here? Do not tweet this out. Do not tweet this.
Guess what I woke up to today?
What?
Like, you put it out there.
What?
First time since we moved into the new place 4 months ago. All over the place.
What?
Dog urine and even number two. I couldn't believe what I woke up to today. I'm like, you got to be bleeping kidding me with this.
With your Frosted Flakes? That's a tough one.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, man.
Anyway, go ahead.
What a story. Oh, man. The dog urinates on the modem. Why don't I have internet for 5 days? This is unbelievable. Unacceptable. You clowns. How can this be? I thought it was, I hadn't spoken to the ex in 2 months. And we hung out about a week ago.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I was supposed to know that we still had a chance and whatever. So, unbeknownst to me, she grabbed my phone. Her phone was dead. She wanted to call her mother. And she realized, she starts looking at my text messages and she sees the new girl. She takes, wants to go, scrolls the messages, takes my phone, slams it down and breaks it. Thing goes everywhere. I'm yelling at security. She got my phone. She's got my phone. Takes it, slams it, breaks it. So I'm like, well, how do I get out of this one now? I go and get the new phone. I talk to this girl. I've only had two dates with her. I just go, okay, here's the situation. I don't know much. Who knows? I'm drawn dead. I have to be drawn dead. I go, here's what happened. She goes, women are crazy. No big deal.
After she broke the phone.
That's what the new girl said.
Oh.
When I said about what happened, I go, can you let me off the hook here? Is this? She goes, I understand. Women are nuts. I couldn't believe the. Come on. That's like a 20-to-1 shot. That's a 20-to-1 shot. Don't you think?
I need to break out the Magic 8 Ball and show it to you.
What?
Because no doubt it says marriage in your future.
For who? Can I do both?
Oh, my God. You really know how to pick them.
Oh. Can you believe that response? As I read it, I go, I'll go. She got back to me. What's this going to be? It's like, drop dead. Get out of here. You're nuts.
It should make you like her even more.
It says, no big deal. Women are crazy. Uh-huh. I understand.
Yeah. Right? It should make you like her even more.
I'm going shopping for the ring today.
I will break your legs. I will call Jimmy Vaccaro after the show and say, look, I've never put in this phone call to you, but I know that you know people.
Oh.
Track Paulie right now. He's going to go somewhere. Shoot his tires out. Break the legs. Whatever. Do not let him go to... If you show up at Tiffany's this weekend and I find out about it, new co-host, Freddie Mac. We'll run
20
down.
20-to-1.
That she says yes?
No, that was the response. Ah, no big deal.
He's also admitting that she might be a little crazy too, so... We'll run down the bad beats, line moves from last night, and win-lose coming up next.
Bet River Sportsbook.
Sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Sign up using promo code VSIN2K to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and fast rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now to experience this premium book for yourself. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Here we go. Time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Let's rumble. Bad beats. Mariners, Red Sox under 9.5. 3-2 in the eighth inning. And we're unders go to die. Extras in Major League Baseball now. 7-3 final. There were a couple games like that. Saddle scores 4 in the top of the 10th. Ridiculous. Doug, prop bet guy, released Drew Holiday over 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He's on 27 going in the fourth quarter. Nothing. Come on, that's tough.
I mean, he can't get a garbage assist.
I know.
Anything.
Right?
A bounce, a rebound that bounces off the rim and another guy can't grab it. It can't go to him.
I hear you, my friend. Bad for the book. Celtics from 5.5 down to 1.5. Routed Phoenix. Pelicans, 7.5 up to 10, won by 35. Penguins, 250 up to 280. Took out the Devils, no problem. Boy, are they bad. Right? For the videos. This has been all over. It's a Rex Chapman special. This is at a high school in Utah. Look at this. They're running track. Look at that little guy coming out. And the little guy's going to win the race.
I'm going to get him.
Here he comes. Look, way, way behind. What a comeback this is. And he catches the kid and wins the race. High school in Utah. Down the stretch they come. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. That'll be up later. She almost trips. Like she almost trips over the dog.
Remember Mr. Freeze in Atlanta?
That's right, with the lead.
Running around the track.
That is awesome. That is so good. And how about 517? A viewer had a chance to check it out last night. That made my top 5 list of things to go to and places to eat when you come to town. That is Masumi at Wynn. Yeah, there's a waterfall in the restaurant. Little lake. Look at that view. Supposed to be like the best teppanyaki place as well. Oh, come on. Are you serious? And we're still doing this.
I will fully admit that I have not gone to Wynn/Encore enough.
I would say the same.
As a Las Vegas resident.
Sammy Does St. Louis on Twitter. This is Lou Sum. This is a trifecta in St. Louis. Oh, the wrong one. That's
this one's still good.
Well, look at this. Where was this?
This guy, I think, showed up.
Package delivery guy or something?
Yeah, doing a job.
Right.
And he's like, oh, my God, I got to take photos of this.
My God. Kentucky Christmas tree. Sammy Does St. Louis, a trifecta spotted in South St. Louis. Halloween stuff was up, St. Patrick's Day and Christmas decorations. Unbelievable. The trifecta. Can you believe it?
I think we have it right here.
There it is. Yep. I was looking at the wrong one. Sorry, guys. Look at that. We have everything covered there, all the bases. What are we doing? April 23rd. And one more, we'll put it under Win Some. And Sean Harness also agrees on Twitter at Guppy Money. He says, yeah, you tip the dealer, they'll make it rain, they'll put it where you want. Just be careful about it. This is a tweet we received yesterday. 20 years in the casino business, starting as a dealer and ending as a pit boss. I can tell you with 100% certainty that any roulette dealer worth their salt can put the ball within a couple spots either side of the target number 80% of the time or more. Sean Harness says the section, put it in a section, six numbers. There you go, win-lose. I'd love to hear stories about this all day, about this roulette. Can they put it where they want?
Yeah, I want to, again, we have to do video of that. Go around, follow somebody here that's a master. Let me give you this email, too. This is from, I got the Gamlu glasses here.
Yeah, there you go.
On, off, here we go. This is from Troy in Sioux Falls. Huge Niners fan. I have no idea what they're doing with the third pick, but I've been pounding the desk. They absolutely need to draft Kyle Pitts. Imagine running 22 formation with the best fullback in the league. They can run I formation 80% of the game and be unstoppable. My concern would be what happens to Pitts with the rookie contract. Sure. I'd say this. Worry about that down the road and when that comes.
Yeah.
I mean, right? The idea of Pitts and Kittle in the same offense together. Again, we agree with this. Jimmy G can be okay. He can be fine. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be a complete disaster. They had a lead in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes not that long ago.
You have to admit, Jones giving up all this stuff. Jones and or Lance, because apparently Lombardi and others have ruled out Fields. Lance and or Jones, it's a risk. You don't know. It's a 50-50 shot
to begin with. Totally agree.
And it's hard to evaluate these Alabama quarterbacks. Number one, they usually stink. Number two, these guys are wide open by 10 yards.
Yeah.
And Tua was a disaster. Although I'll give him a break. He's got time, obviously, and they're going to get him more toys. But I don't know about Lance. Who knows about Jones?
I will be dancing next Thursday night if they go to the podium and we find out the third pick overall is Kyle Pitts. I'll be the happiest guy on the planet.
All right.
In Pocket Plays, what we're betting, and we'll cut the deck coming up here on Follow the Money.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
Nope.
You're on.
You're on, baby. Here we go. In Pocket Plays. NFL Draft. Bet this at Circus Sports earlier in the week. Running back could be drafted first. They put up 3. It's a group bet. Etienne, Harris, and one of the kids from North Carolina. I bet Etienne plus $2. Which wide receiver is going to go first between Bateman, Tony, and Marshall? I have Bateman plus 188. I bet it again a little bit smaller today at plus 170. Who's going to get drafted first? I have Waddle plus 105 over Devontae Smith. And I like a bunch today, Major League Baseball. Pirates plus 140. Brubaker against Happ.
One team playing good ball, hanging in there. The other team's lost 9-10.
And I'll give you some other ones that I have not bet yet. They're under consideration. Rockies first 5, Royals versus the Tigers. And I'll take a look at Giants Marlins first 5 under, but I think it's going to be 3.5, maybe with some juice, so it's probably going to be a pass. But there you go.
Dogs are 132 and 129 straight up this year. Can you believe
it's awesome.
This? Can you believe it? And DeGrom's $3, and the Mets have lost 4 of his last 5 starts. Yep, I do lean Tampa, though. Lowest whip in the league for Glasnow. 7-1 last 8 home starts. 0.75 ERA. Mats has been good, too, but I think they find a way to get it done. All pending. Top pending. Over 5.5 quarterbacks first round at DraftKings, 3-1. Over 4.5 wide receivers taken in the first round. That's William Hill. That's 280 now. That's moved 70 cents. I mean, school's out on that.
Yeah.
Lightning in regulation, winner. Penguins in regulation, ice cream. Hurricanes, $1.20, winner, rack it up. 6 straight wins against the Panthers. The Islanders couldn't score? The Islanders couldn't score.
Not a single goal.
Yeah. They lose in a shootout at home.
Now, was that you when you realized the dog peed all over the modem? Or was that you losing that ticket?
The modem. Yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah. And then loser with the good job by Toronto. We got a couple emails saying they're the Phoenix Suns of hockey. Like up and down to the competition. They have some bad losses.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that was a loser with the Jets.
Okay.
Could have something.
How about this?
Let me examine the schedule since I brought that up.
A mutual acquaintance of ours sent me a text last night, and he said, what do you think about this bet? The Pacific Division in the NBA to win the NBA title. He found it at plus 150. So when you go, like, which division is going to win the NBA title?
Wow.
You're getting the Suns, the Clippers, and the Lakers at plus 150 to win the NBA title?
Yeah, I don't trust Utah or Denver.
Neither do I.
That is wild. Where was that?
He never told me.
Yeah, you get three. Yeah, I don't trust
him. I asked him. He gave me a goofy answer, so.
He gave me a goofy answer?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll play ball. Okay, Toronto lost to Vancouver twice, beat Winnipeg. I could see that. He might have something there. Okay, very good. So there are so many different trends going on right now and hot trends in hockey. We got to run all these down. And Chris Otto's been all over it as well. But there's a lot going on here and a lot keep cashing. So goal in the first 10. Kings, 10-1, yes. Devils, 17-2, yes. VGK, they play tomorrow, 15-2, yes. New Jersey also 17-2, but 11 in a row. Yes.
Correct.
Edmonton, no. 8 in a row. Carolina, first period unders, 15-3. Edmonton, 8 straight first period unders. Third period over. Ottawa, the streak came to an end, but still. 13-1 overrun for Ottawa, third period. Colorado on the road, 18-2 overrun, third period. Have some fun with this weekend. Get nuts.
So based on the numbers, the Friday leans would be Boston, Buffalo, first period over 1.5, second period over 1.5. Chicago, Nashville, third period over 1.5. The plays for him, Rangers, Flyers, goal in the first 10, yes. And Kings, Wild, goal in the first 10, yes. And second period over 1.5. Streaky trends, different ways to play it. Stuff that's been cashing.
Washington's also played 7 of 8 to the over in the first period. That 7 in a row came to an end last night, obviously.
Yep.
What happened? But this New Jersey, I mean, you want to talk about letting go of the rope with New Jersey. At least Columbus showed up some fight last night. But my God. I mean, the New Jersey thing, the other night, it's 6-0 in the third period. And then all hell breaks loose. But they've lost 11 of 12. They're giving up goals nothing. Giving up goals for fun. 5-1, 7-6, 5-3, 6-3, 4-0, 5-2, 6-4, 5-3, 5-4. Look at this. Are they gonna? Their only win's Buffalo during that streak, and Columbus. What is it now? They've lost 15-7. What is it?
I think 15-16.
Okay, and then the wins were Tampa. The two wins were Tampa.
Yeah, 15-17. Yeah,
right. There's 12. They've lost 12 of 13. They play Tampa Sunday. Then they get Detroit. Oh, God.
By the way, in baseball on Saturday, how excited are you for this game?
Is it Colin Bieber?
It's 6:10 Eastern with the first pitch. As of right now, it's supposed to be Colin Bieber going at it.
Oh.
That's in Cleveland. They started their series last night.
Finally had a first five over. So it's now 14-2 run or something.
15. His last start, when all those games were, I think that was Sunday, when all those games were going on at the same time, every first five went under but the Indians and Bieber. How do you like that? And from what I was watching my guys in the desert yesterday right here on VSIN, and Mike Palm and Derek Stevens made an appearance with Matt Humans and Wes. They're going to show the UFC here, third floor, that warehouse where they put March Madness in. I think it's like $75 to get in. What do you have here?
Bam! Let's stay hot. 10.
That's good enough. Yeah, that's a winner. Going fresh?
Gotcha. Let's go.
You had a good week.
Good guys. Back on track.
Was it 3-2 this week for you?
Now it's top horse racing plays for ExpressBet analyst Jeff Siegel. At Keeneland in the third race, he likes the 7 after 5. 5-2 on the morning line. And at Belmont in the 6th, he likes the 3 Capital Structure. You can bet these races and more at First Bet, the best place to start your betting action for horse racing. To get you ready for the Derby, First Bet's giving $20 in free bets for all new users who sign up now through May 1st using the promo code VEGAS20. Everyone who redeems this $20 free bet offer will receive full access to VSiN subscription products for free now through the Belmont Stakes. VSiN.com/horses for details. VSiN.com/horses. Great promotion. The GOAT will be on next week, too, Mr. Siegel, to talk about the Kentucky Derby as well. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Derby, draft, draft preview, draft recap, Mike Palm in studio, hockey, NBA winding down.
Mm-hmm. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, this is going to be a lot of fun. Adnan Ferk is going to join the program. Little Oscars with him, some Major League Baseball. He co-hosts the podcast called GM Shuffle with our very own Michael Lombardi. Who does he like at the Oscars tomorrow night? Sunday night, that is. We'll find out from him coming up next. Sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook now. Get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Download the app. Sign up using the promo code VSIN and get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, that number is 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
All right, my friend. What do you think for, what? I can't hear you. Okay, there you are. Thank you.
Okay, so here we go. Let's do this. Adnan Virk, kind enough to join the program now. MLB NHL Network does the podcast called GM Shuffle with our buddy, Michael Lombardi. Good morning, Adnan. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Good, Mitch. Paul, how are you guys doing today?
Doing really well.
All right, my friend. I want to get right into it. 5 years ago, GSP, Bieber and Gretzky walk into a restaurant. Who gets a table first in Toronto?
Okay, George St. Pierre, Gretzky, and who else?
Bieber.
Oh, Bieber. Wow. You know, Gretzky's royalty, but, you know, I worry about ageism, so I'll go to Bieber or GSP.
Oh.
Now, GSP huge, and I'm going to say in, you know, French Canada more than English Canada. So Toronto specifically, I'll say Bieber.
Bieber, okay.
Great breakdown. Mm-hmm. I know you nailed it. Okay, well done.
It's a good answer. Good answer.
I like to give quicker answers, but I want to use deductive reasoning on this. But Bieber is the correct answer.
Sure.
But how many movies do you watch per year?
You know, it's a great question. I never keep track, so I get asked it all the time. I think generally I watch two or three a week. So that's probably the best answer. Two or three a week. Now, that's new releases, and then I like to watch old movies as well. So, for example, Sunset Boulevard is one of my favorite movies. It was on TV the other day, so I recorded it. So I don't know if that counts. Are you asking new releases or just movies that
I
watch?
In general.
Yeah, in general, two or three a week.
Okay.
Wow.
So have you seen the betting odds? DraftKings, you can bet on this now in certain states. I think it's three states overall where they can post the odds and people can bet on it. Nomadland is -670, and the next closest movie behind that is The Trial of the Chicago 7. Which movie do you think was the best, and would you agree with the odds on the favorite right there?
So Sound of Metal is my favorite film of the year. It's up for Best Picture, which was a bit of a surprise. It wasn't expected to get nominated, but I thought it was an incredible film. Riz Ahmed stars. He's up for Best Actor playing a heavy metal drummer who suddenly loses his hearing. It's one of the great films ever I've seen about a character in that kind of a precarious situation. There's no chance of winning. And to answer your question, I think Nomadland wins. Now, Trial of the Chicago 7 did win the Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Ensemble, which is interesting. If you look back at last year, 1917, the Sam Mendes war film, won Producers Guild Award. It won many other awards, Golden Globe as well. But Parasite won the SAG Best Ensemble, and then Parasite pulled off the upset for Best Picture of the Oscars. Therefore, Trial of Chicago 7 has a puncher's chance, but Nomadland has won virtually every category coming in. I'll go with Nomadland.
Okay. How would that movie stack up to, like, previous years where we, you know, is it in the same company? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent movie. I mean, the story is interesting. It's about literally the nomadic lifestyle. Frances McDormand plays a woman who, through a tragic past, now decides that she wants to live this itinerant lifestyle. And she goes from place to place, meeting new people. And it's really a fascinating look at, you know, self-resilience and self-reliance and, you know, the whole rugged individualism upon which America was fronted. So I did think it was a really solid film.
Can anybody possibly shock the world for best actor? Or is this Chadwick's, you know, award to... So, you know, he's minus 1667, so he's a gigantic favorite.
Oh, yeah. If there's a lock ever, fellas, it's Chadwick Boseman. He obviously had an incredible career in a relatively short amount of time, whether it was playing, you know, Jackie Robinson or James Brown or in Black Panther. And he's excellent in this film, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Again, if I had a real vote, I'd go with Riz Ahmed. I thought he was spectacular in Son of Metal. And to be honest, if I had a second choice, I'd say Anthony Hopkins for The Father. That's one of the most devastating portrayals I've ever seen of dementia. The last scene of Anthony Hopkins in The Father is about as good as screen acting gets, but Chadwick Boseman is going to win.
Ooh, okay. Excellent. Right. And Sorkin, I liked The Trial of Chicago 7. I thought it was well done. Sorkin cleaned up at the Globes. Do you expect the same thing to happen here?
I think he'll win for screenplay again. Again, the movie I don't think is going to win for picture, but I think Sorkin is a lock screenplay. And to your point, listen, it's a really smart screenplay. It's about a lot of what we're dealing with now, which is freedom of speech and, you know, battling against insurrection and all that sort of thing. And he's obviously a very gifted writer. I liked the movie. I didn't love it. I did like the cast. And Michael Keaton's great. He shows up for a couple scenes.
Right.
Frank Langella, Eddie Redmayne, all really good. I just thought the ending, I was rolling my eyes a little bit. Sorkin can never resist those impulses for a little bit of cheese and a little bit of sentimentality. But it is a smart film. I did like it. Yeah.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Adnan Virk, our guest. How about the best actress category? And we talked to Richard Roper yesterday. He was on the program, Adnan. And
he's great. I love Rich.
He's awesome. Awesome dude. You know, great at this, obviously. And he said this category, and based on the odds, it's obviously up in the air as well. But he made a case for Viola Davis at 2-1, saying she's been nominated a bunch. Like, at some point, she's going to have to win. And he said, why not this year? Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, that's probably the best category, fellas, with which to debate. Because going into awards season, which is, you know, Golden Globes normally in December and away we go, I would have said Frances McDormand's going to win because Nomadland's going to win for Best Picture. And by the way, Chloe Zhao, absolute lock for Best Director. But McDormand hasn't won any of the major categories coming in, so it has now become a two-horse race. It looked like Carey Mulligan might be the favorite for Promising Young Woman. She wins the Critics' Choice Award. But then Viola Davis, the fact she won the SAG Award, the Screen Actors Guild, I will give the edge to Viola Davis, agreeing with Richard's point, which is that she is due. I mean, she was great, obviously, in The Help. She was unbelievable in Doubt, playing a supporting role. She was up for Best Supporting Actress, and she was great in Fences as well. Now, she already won for Fences against Denzel Washington, so this should be her second Oscar, but I think it's a great performance, and the fact she won the SAG, again, the Screen Actors are the biggest branch of the Academy, so the best indicator of the acting victory is the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild Awards. So for me, the fact that Viola won there, she wins, but honestly, it's a good race for her and Carey Mulligan. It could go either way.
Top of your head, the biggest stink bomb that ever won Best Picture.
Forrest Gump. I mean, there's no question about it. 1994. That's one of the great years ever, fellas, for movies. You have Pulp Fiction, which literally reignited filmmaking and inspired a generation of filmmakers, Tarantino's film. The Shawshank Redemption might be the most popular movie of the last 30 years. It's on every week on TNT and TBS. The Lion King is one of the greatest animated movies ever, taking Hamlet and adapting it to a bunch of lions and Mufasa. And then you've got Quiz Show, Robert Redford's wonderful film starring John Turturro, Ralph Fiennes, which is a real morality play. And none of those four movies won. Instead, it's a movie about a simpleton who uses a bunch of Southern fried cliches. And that's the movie that won Best Picture?
Yeah.
That's one of the most egregious wins ever. Awful, awful.
By the way, snap call, I totally agree with you. I will not get over 1994. I mean, Forrest Gump was a fine movie. Pulp Fiction and Shawshank Redemption here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's staggering when you look back. Because honestly, if you just told like a generation of movie fans years from now, our kids, grandkids, whatever, just watch those three movies in succession. And to your point, you'll say, yeah, Forrest Gump's decent. Nice little movie. Sure. Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan. Like, I get it.
I get it.
I like the way that, at the time that the CGI was very interesting, right? The technology, the way they put Forrest in different. Yeah, cool. I got newsreel clips. Awesome. But Pulp Fiction is exhilarating. Shawshank Redemption is like inspirational. Those movies change people's lives. Forrest Gump did not change anyone's life.
Well said. I remember the theater I was at when I saw Pulp Fiction. I just couldn't. It was so smart and incredible. How about Shakespeare in Love?
That's another big one. 1998 is one of the worst ones ever. The fact that Saving Private Ryan did not win Best Picture. Now, I'm not a huge Saving Private Ryan fan. Like, I think it's a great film, But this is a different example of, like, whereas 94, I'm saying those movies are incredible. Forrest Gump is okay. 98 is an example of, yeah, Saving Private Ryan, particularly the first 20 minutes, is, again, incredible. It's a really solid war film. But Shakespeare in Love is not a good movie. Like, that's one of those that you go, hang on a second. Who on earth in the last 30 years has said to themselves, you know what? It's a Friday. Let's watch Shakespeare in Love. Nobody is doing that.
Yep.
And by the way, it's a credit to Harvey Weinstein, the now disgraced and imprisoned inmate, because he was incredible at lobbying people and getting the right movie in the right hands. And it was a real smart advertising campaign he did for Miramax that Shakespeare in Love won. But it's obviously one of the top five worst Best Picture winners ever.
What would you say most underrated show is all time? TV, whatever, streaming, what you can think of, HBO, whatever.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Sopranos is my favorite show of all time. The Larry Sanders Show, I think, is the most underrated because it's a great comedy.
Yeah,
and anybody who works in TV, fellas, you guys work in radio and work in media, like, it's so smart and it was so perceptive. And I loved it in high school. And then I actually got in the business and I said, oh my God, this is dead on. And Conan O'Brien once said, he goes, they really nailed the aspect of the host who he loves it so much, and then he's got to get away from it. Like that duality of this is the best and this is the worst. And the way that he was so insecure and self-loathing, and Hank as the sidekick, Rip Torn as the producer, was a great take charge. I mean, the amount of one-liners in that show, like I watched a bunch during the pandemic again, and I said, oh my God, this is one of the funniest shows ever. I love it.
Wow, I forgot about it. I think you nailed that one too.
You know what else is underrated? Arrested Development. I hope that has not gotten awesome. That cast, the writing, superb.
I was about to say, Arrested Development, if you give me a second choice, that's the one. Because I remember watching it. I wish I could have seen it from the first episode. Like, you know, there's always a sense of pride to say, oh, I watched Breaking Bad from the first episode of The Sopranos, et cetera. I remember Arrested Development. I was about episode 5 or 6 in. And a couple of buddies in college going, dude, you've got to see this show. And I was hooked immediately. Again, the sharpness of the writing, the eccentricity of the characters, they're so idiosyncratic but so sharp. And all different types of comedy, right? It's slapstick, it's smart, it's highbrow, it's lowbrow. Everyone in the cast is a winner. Like when Jessica Walter just passed away as Lucille Bluth, I said, you can make a case she was the best character in that show. You can make the case Will Arnett was the best character as Job. Tobias Fünke is amazing. Bateman playing the straight man, that's not an easy role. Tambor is the father. I mean, everybody's amazing in that movie. That's so.
Great conversation. I think we could talk to you for a good hour. No problem, Adnan. Yep. Thanks so much for the time today. Seriously, that was great.
I appreciate thanks, guys. I appreciate the fact we share the same sensibilities. Enjoy the Oscars on Sunday, and best to my man Lombardi.
Yep.
You got it.
He's
on Monday. That's right.
He also hosts the Cinephile podcast.
Yep.
MLB Network, GM Shuffle with Lombardi.
Look at this guy. Everywhere. Like to be his agent. Looking forward to the GM Shuffle pod, too. And Lombardi with the interesting tidbit yesterday. So that's now Lombardi. And our guest earlier, Sam Monson, saying Atlanta's not going quarterback at 4. So I would then say that Jones, Pitts, Sewell, Chase, fun begins with Detroit at 7. Would you agree?
Yes. I bet Pitts, first non-quarterback drafted, like at plus 120 or 130, thinking that Atlanta keeps the pick and Pitts is going to be the guy. And then that would... That also kind of balances out the bet that I have on first 4 picks will be all quarterbacks at plus 750.
All right.
I could lose them both, but.
Thanks to the feedback all week. Thanks to the crew. They were great. Great job by Dan. Although it's a microphone, you don't have to whisper. You can talk loud into it, Dan. Great job. We're back Monday. Lombardi, draft, UFC recap. Good luck out there.